doing? Think about it for just a moment. 11 o'clock. I was at an event here, down here at the place called Vibe. It's a collaborative workspace. So that's where I was. What were you doing? And then what were you doing as the day progressed? I was here celebrating with a team, a couple of people from our team in marriage. So that's what I was doing. What were you doing as the day progressed? When it came near the dinner hour, what did that look like for you? I'll tell you what it looked like for me. I cooked. Applause, please. Okay, yeah, I know. It wasn't anything big. It was eggs, and I screwed those up too. So anyway, I did that, and Jen and I often cook together anyway. So that's why. Then, of course, the evening progressed, and my routine, and I love tea, and so my evening routine is tea. What was yours? What were you doing as the evening progressed? And then you went to bed, right? And then I went to bed, and then we woke up at whatever time this morning. We continue our day, and somewhere along the way, you got ready to come here. And here we are, and it's now 11:01, 24 hours since yesterday. What did your life include? For 480 followers of Jesus, in the last 24 hours that we just talked about, it meant their life physically. They died for Jesus. They died. Every 24 hours, 480, on average, followers of Jesus are killed for their faith. They're persecuted, and they die for Jesus. In the 30 minutes that we'll have together now until we walk out, 10 more will die. Every 30 minutes, 10 will give their life for Jesus. Let me ask you this question. What happened in their life in order for them to walk to their grave? What happened? Say it. I know you know the answer. It's one word. Jesus. Who said Jesus? You get a free book. You get a Dick Brogdon book on the way out there. You have coffee. It was Jesus. Jesus happened in their life. Everybody say it. Jesus. Jesus happened in their life. And they took his testimony to the grave with them. 480 more will do so before that clock ticks off 24 hours. Here's what we're going to be talking about in this series called Community, that when we experience Jesus, our life is changed, and it's no longer inward, it's outward. In fact, I'll say it this way, experiencing Jesus propels us outward. It can never be inward. It's never inward. It's always outward. Listen to what someone wrote. Curiously, Jesus goes to the outcast and marginalized, sees how they are being mistreated, and becomes angry that his people were not carrying forth his values and love for lost people. The same religious spirit can overtake any of God's people if we are not vigilant to guard our hearts against thinking that our convenience and comfort is why our church exists. Because it is then that we lose our hearts for lost people and we lose the heart of Jesus. You see, the gospel, Jesus, always propels us when we experience him outward to make the name of Jesus famous. I have said this before and I'm going to say it again. Gateway is the one to gin the church. It's about Jesus. Say it, Jesus. It's about making Jesus. It's about making the name of Jesus famous throughout the world for his glory amongst all people groups. I'd like for you to take and go to the book of Acts, because we're going to unpack some things today. The book of Acts, and for some of you, I know you're brand new to Bible reading. So go to the book of Acts in the New Testament, backside of the book. Acts is the historical book of the New Testament. It's where we see the church forming. We're going to go there in just a few moments. I'd like for you to put your finger there, because we're going to be talking about community. Community. What happens when a community like us, when we come together and we're in unity with regards to this call to make the name of Jesus famous? What happens and how do we live out our life? So community is kind of our focus over the next number of weeks, and we're going to be diving deep into Acts chapter 2 in just a few moments. But community in the It's not only in the New Testament that we read it. It's also in the Old Testament. I'm just going to show you a couple passages or reference a couple passages where we see community being lived out. One is from the book of Ecclesiastes, Old Testament. And some of you have read it, and maybe some of you will recognize it as we kind of walk through it. But just look for community in here. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone, or there's no community around them, nobody around them, is in real trouble. Likewise, two people living close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm? How can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. And throughout the Bible, we read about community, about people coming together, doing life together, living together. Exodus chapter 20 is another one. And some of you will recognize that as, that's where we read, that's where we receive and read about the Ten Commandments. You are exactly right. They're given to a community. I think it's interesting, at least in my Bible, the top of that, kind of preface to that chapter 20, Exodus chapter 20, it says this, Ten Commandments for the covenant community. It's the life that we're to live out. So here's what is to rule your community. Well, what does it look like when we come together as a faith community? That's what we're talking about today. Listen to what Howard Olds wrote. He says this, when God hung the planets in space and put the stars in place, when God made each little flower that opens and each little bird that sings, he crowned his creation with a human being made from the dust of the earth and the breath of heaven. He put Adam in the Garden of Eden with the responsibility to take care of the place. Then God suddenly discovers someone or something is missing, and the Lord God said, it's not good for a human being to be alone, and he created Eve, and we were created for community, Howard Olds said. It is true. We're created to do life together. Now, here's what I want you to do. Just look at your hands, okay? It's not a trick. Just look at your hands, okay? Nothing's going to disappear, so look at your hands. And, now some of you are thinking, I should have washed my hands before I leave. I cut my fingernails and all this kind of stuff. Okay, now, our hands, like what, 27 plus bones in them, are designed to do something. But now shake hands with yourself. See? So you're trying to do it, and it looks weird. And it looks weird because it's kind of odd. It's kind of like you can't really do that really, really well. I mean, you can kind of do it, but not really, really well. You just can't do that thing. How about if you get like an itch, in the center of your back, right? I mean, you contort yourself in all kinds of positions just to get to that thing, right? I mean, last night I got sitting on the couch, I had this itch I couldn't get, and I was trying. Man, I was in every other position. Finally, I had to tell Jenny, like, you just got to get this thing. I can't get to it. So you know what? That's the way that works. We need other hands, don't we? We need other people. Living in community, that's what that's all about. So I understand, I've been told, like, one of the worst forms of punishment is isolation. So I don't know about you. Some of you, I guess do better than this. I don't. So, I'm terrible when it comes, like, to being alone. I don't like it at all. And so I've mentioned this before, but if Jen isn't home, I do not go home for lunch. It's just I don't like being in an empty house by myself, and I'm looking for other team members, I just don't like isolation. So for me to be in isolation, man, I can't even figure that thing out. I think it would just, like, kill me, And so they say that, one of the worst forms of punishment is isolation. So some of you parents, like, you send your kids to their room by themselves, right? So they can think about what they just did. And hopefully, and maybe some of you were sent to your room, you could be in isolation and just think about, you're wrong and all this kind of stuff. Well, I was reading about the Vietnam POWs who survived, being in the Hanoi Hilton, and this is how they survived. Listen to this. By developing a tapping code, one of the ways they did, by developing a tapping code that kept them in communication with one another. As a former Air Force pilot, and I read about him, Ron Bliss, who was shot down over North Vietnam, 37th flight mission he was on, and then he spent 6.5 years as a prisoner of war. And he says this about that tapping code that they created. He says this, sometimes we sounded like a den of runaway woodpeckers. On Sundays, we joined together in the Lord's Prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance without our captors ever deciphering our system. You see what they did in that moment, in that of isolation? They did something to create community. That's what we're talking about. Now, you got that place, Acts chapter 2. Your Bible might look like this. It might be your phone, your tablet. Makes no difference. Let's go there. And Acts chapter 2, 42 is where we're going to look at in just a few moments. But I want to kind of back up to part of Peter's message. It kind of leads into what we're going to be talking about, beginning with verse number 32. And he says this, God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. Now he is exalted to the place of the highest honor in heaven at God's right hand. And the Father, as he had promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us, just as you see and hear today. For David himself never ascended into heaven. Yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit in the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet. So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? And Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you and to your children and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all of his listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day about 3,000 in all. The kingdom expanded. And then we get to verses 42 where we're going to spend a number of weeks in. Something happened. At the top of my Bible, and perhaps in yours, digital or like this, I read these words, the believers form a community. The kingdom expanded, and now the believers formed a community. This intrigues me. And as I sat and read, even before I started reading down through that, I was captivated by that. Their response was to come together, not to live in isolation, but to rejoice in newfound life, to celebrate, to support one another, to learn together, to grow together. It was almost a sense of, yes, we can do this. But what we're going to see is as they experience Jesus, it propelled them, and we're going to see this each and every week, outward. It's never inward. But let's go to verse number 42, okay? Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Here we are. And these are the verses we'll be focusing on over the next number of weeks. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe or reverence came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared money with those in need. How many know that the experience of Jesus would be needed for that to happen right there? They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. You see what happened? The kingdom began and continued to expand as these believers formed a community and they began to live out this experience, Jesus. What took place? You can mark them in your Bible. They're listed there. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the fellowship, to the sharing of meals, and to prayer together. You know, that word devotion just means it was with intense effort. And let's don't miss that, because it's sometimes not easy. It takes intense effort sometimes to come together and to do life in community, but as we do so, living out this experience of Jesus, and we do so in a healthy way, in a healthy environment, then his kingdom is expanded. It takes devotion to do this because relationships are sometimes messy. And we do see the challenges to the church as we continue to read through the book of Acts. Years ago, there was this advertisement that appeared in classifieds of a local newspaper. Husband says either he or puppies must go. Puppies are playful and cute. Husband is grouchy and unsympathetic. Your choice, free. You have to think about that for a second. Husband or puppies, free, both of them. It just may be that our biggest challenge in life is relationships at home and in community. It's devotion. And as we live out Jesus, this experience that you had at some point, if you're a follower of Jesus, maybe young, perhaps older, maybe yesterday, maybe you've been a follower for many, many years, but as we live this life out, as we come together in community, it always propels us outward. It's never inward. They met, they shared everything they had, sold property and possessions, and shared the money with those in need. That's outward. Worshiped together in the temple, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. And what happens? Each day the Lord added to their number. The gospel points us, it propels us outward. This brand new way of living that became a part of their life, worshiping together, sharing together, learning together, was a reality of what Jesus had done in their life, and the focus was outside. The byproduct, if you will, is an intense effort and desire to share Christ. That's what we're going to be talking about over the next number of weeks, even in more depth. We do so in a number of ways. This sharing, this experiencing Jesus, by gathering in communion, by learning together, by supporting and sharing. We do that, but our focus is never inward. It's always outward. Years ago, I was traveling with my friend Mark Pearson. Some of you know his name. Some of you, that would be new. And we're driving down the freeway, and this church van passes us. And the name of the church was on the outside. If I gave you the chance to guess the name, you probably never could. And I couldn't either if I were guessing. But it was this. Are you ready? The Exclusive Church. Honestly, we read that. We thought, what is that about? What do you mean the Exclusive Church? Like, there is nothing in the Bible that says that, that points us to exclusivity like that. There is nothing that says we for and no more. Nothing. Because the gospel always propels us outside. That's why we do what we do. That's why we go into our community. That's why we go to the Wolof and to the Garwal and to the Basque to share this good news. Because if it's not good news for everyone, it's not good news at all. That's what propels us. Jesus is the experience that you and I have had. Coming into a brand new life and freedom and now into community propels us to take this good news to people in our community and worldwide. There's a team leaving next month led by Dr. Bill who's taking medical team, and they're doing so to serve the people, but it's with one purpose, and that's to make the name of Jesus famous amongst the Wolof. That's our passion. That's why we go. That's why we go into this community. The gospel propels us outward. It can never be inward. And this call is a call of obedience. It's both corporate and individual. It's both corporate and individual. Here's what that means. That means that individually, we need to live this out in our own life. And so it forces me to ask, what has this experience with Jesus done to my life? Does it propel me outward? Does it cause me to look at people that I come across as lost people? Does it create in me and grow in me this passion to share the good news of the gospel? Am I walking in obedience as a person? And I'll just tell you, man, over the last number of years, man, Jesus has so grown my heart. A passion for him, and a passion for missions, and a passion for the world. And I just pray he continues to do that. I do. This call to obedience, to walk obediently before him, sharing the good news, is both individual and is corporate, meaning that we have to live this out as a community as well. This means our doors are open to anybody. This means anyone can come in. This means we say, come on in. We're an inclusive church in the sense that all are welcome. And I pray that when people come in, they experience Jesus, because we're a one-agenda church. We're all about Jesus. And I would pray that the passion in us individually and the passion corporately would literally, would leak out of us, would ooze out of us, and people would capture that. That's what this life is about. That's what happens when you experience Jesus. That's why in the last 24 hours, 480 people went to their death proclaiming the name of Jesus. Do you know that there have been more martyrs in the 20th century than all of the other centuries combined? That's what's taking place. It's Jesus. Dick Brogdon was with us just a couple weeks ago, and it's a great day. If you were here, if you weren't here, I just encourage you, go to gatewayfellowship.com, go to the archives, listen to Dick. It was powerful, but he was here on Sunday, and then he was here actually the whole week, so some of us got to spend some time with him, and I was so challenged in my own life during that time, and he met with a small group of guys that I meet with on Thursday morning, and so he was a part of that. And we talked about a lot of stuff, but at one point during our time together, he pulls out his phone, and he's going to show us something. How you have seen it on the news, on TV, men and women, young and some older, they'll do a video, suicide video. They're wearing a suicide vest before they give their lives for some false god. You've seen it. I've seen it. It's been on the news. He pulls out his phone and he begins to show us a video. And what we were listening to is a 19-year-old boy, young man, 19-year-old young man, talk about something. I was captivated. He captured that conversation in one of the books that he has authored. And I want to share it with you today because it's what we're talking about. This young boy, young man, 19 years old. And it's just titled, Message from a North African Believer, a Follower of Jesus. So this follower of Jesus has created a video. This is what he said. Hello, I'm a citizen of a country in North Africa. I'm a Christian. If you are hearing these words, it means either I have been persecuted and disappeared, or that I am dead somewhere. This is a message to my brothers and sisters, to the Christian nation, and to the secret believers everywhere in the Islamic world. I died for Jesus. I died for saying the words of the gospel. I couldn't stop talking about Jesus because of what I felt, what I believe in. I'm probably with God now. It sounds weird to say it, but don't let my blood go to waste. You, my brothers and sisters, you secret believers in the Islamic world, go out there, stop fearing. We never lose. When you are with God, you never lose. If you die, you win. If they persecute you, you win. If you fly to another country, you win. You are winning anyway. Why are you afraid? Have some passion. Even Jesus said, the one who denies me, I will deny before my Father. So you have to accept Jesus. I have been reduced in my movements in the country here. I am being followed everywhere. Stop fearing. He is here. He is everywhere. And as I listened to that, I just felt in my own heart both passion and maybe a little bit of, what have I been doing with my life? Days after this video was taken, this teenager, this 19-year-old teenager, was abducted by Islamic militia. He was beaten for 20 days. They broke his ribs, his sternum, his clavicle. Rib punctured his lung. When they released him to emergency care in the local hospital, it was with the warning that if you ever open your mouth again about Jesus, we will kill you. Let me ask you this question. Do you think those threats will stop him? No. No. Because it's Jesus. Because this teenage boy experienced something that propelled him to share this good news of the gospel. This is why we go. This is why we live. This is why we come together in community here, not to be us four and no more, but to hear and to worship together and to be challenged together and to be encouraged together. It's not about us, it's about them. I pray Jesus grows this passion in all of our lives, individually and as a community. You're doing it in so many ways. Gospel propels us outward. There's a story, and I'll wrap up with this. In John chapter 4, the New Testament, John chapter 4, it's about a woman who was an outcast, not a part of a community at all. None. She was an outcast because of her lifestyle. And Jesus, if you read that story beginning in John chapter 4, it says he had to go to Samaria. Well, that was an area that didn't normally go. But Jesus did. Jesus did. Because there was someone there, this outcast, this woman that he was going to meet. And she comes to the well alone. And we know that those times of going to the well, gathering water, those are great times. Those are story times. Those are social times. And she was alone because she was an outcast. She was outside of community. But then she met Jesus. And something began to happen when he talked to her about living water. We're not talking about this water here, but we're talking about living water. Something happened in her life when Jesus said, "I'm the Messiah." And she believed. Can I just read it to you? What took place and what happened? Because the disciples came back. They're kind of even wondering, why is it that you're talking to her? They're urging Jesus to please eat something. But this woman, verse number 28, left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village telling everyone. You see what happened? She met Jesus. It changed her life. She couldn't help but to go back to the community and tell everyone. And as a result, in verse 39, many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, "He told me everything that I had did." The gospel propels us outward. And so I have a question for you before I lead in prayer. What does the gospel do for you, this experience of Jesus? 10 people in the last 30 minutes have given their life because Jesus changed them and propelled them outward to tell their story. What does it do for you? What's it do for me? This is a question for me as much as it is for you. How do we live our life for him? This gospel message, this good news, does it propel us? I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to share a couple things, a couple ways that we can embrace this and live this out here locally. We'll be praying for our team that's heading over to Senegal here in the month of November. It's coming up in a few weeks. We'll be praying for them that as they go, they'll go with this gospel message. That as we go into our community, we'll go with this gospel message that Jesus changes people. Father, I would pray that you would just speak to us even right now. God's maybe some of us, we've lived inward, and that has looked like a number of different things. But God, I would pray you'd speak to us right now. Your gospel demands, it compels us to share it with others, Lord, in our life, in our speech, and how we live individually and as a community. And I would pray, Lord, that we'd be challenged in our own hearts. I'd pray that you'd continue to grow my heart for lost people, both locally and in the world today, so that your name will be made famous amongst all people groups. For the glory of God, that's my prayer. You'd grow that in all of us, Lord, that your kingdom would be expanded. Father, I would pray for boldness for each and every one of us. And if you're here, maybe that this has been something fearful to you, like sharing the gospel, just join with me in a prayer for boldness, Jesus, in how I live and in my words. Grant us the opportunity to share, we pray. I want to pray for those of you who may be here who have never experienced Jesus. It's the first time maybe you've heard it or you've never trusted him. Maybe you're online today, you're sitting here. I've said this before, there's no magical words. But if there are words lifted from your heart, and Jesus then takes those words and he extends forgiveness and salvation to you. And so I just pray a prayer like this. Jesus, I just ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I ask for forgiveness. I come to you, Lord, asking you to take my life and placing my trust and my faith in you. Throughout whatever years I've tried to do it alone, I have walked alone. But God, I come to you today, ask for forgiveness, trust in you, desire to walk with you all the days of my life. Lead me and guide me, I pray, in Jesus' name. And the good news is, if you've lifted a prayer like that, a word similar to that of repentance, Jesus comes in, makes you a brand new person, and we get a story to tell. There's an old hymn, I just thought of it. We've got a story to tell. It goes something like that, you know, because we do, each and every one of us. You know, my heart is to see the kingdom expanded. And I can say this with integrity. It's not about growing Gateway. God, get us away from any of that stuff. It's about seeing the kingdom of God grow. That's what this is all about, and that's the passion. Amen. Well, a couple things before we go. There's a way to live this out. So our team, if you're sitting beside this here sheet of paper, you might have to get up. Would you just pass it down? There's a way to live this out, and this is one of the ways. Coats and food drives. We're not going to read through it. This is a way for us as a community to come together and to do these. We do these things in order to open doors for the gospel.